crime detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant Tinker, and Heather Chasten as his secretary Paula Day, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called The Blood of Rameses.
It's going to be a nasty night, sir.
Yes, I'm afraid it is, Sergeant.
Mist coming up. Hope it don't get thick. I can't stand fog.
How long do you think Superintendent Cotter will be?
Ought to be here any minute now, sir. There's something menacing about a fog, if you understand me. Sort of unnatural, like.
Yes, but I don't think this will be more than a thin mist.
You can never be certain, sir. It'll come down suddenly, dust down here.
Listen,
somebody in a hurry, Tinker.
Here. What's the matter, miss?
Pull that chair forward, Tinker. Right. Now, sit down and take it easy for a minute.
Thank you.
What's the matter? Something frightened you, miss?
Yes, I'll tell you when I get my breath. It was that house, isn't it? It shouldn't have been empty.
What house are you talking about?
Professor Laxton's.
Oh, 18 Ayford Avenue, isn't it, miss? But that's not empty.
It was quite empty and full of dust and cobwebs. At least the hall was. That's as far as I got.
Must be some mistake, miss. I passed Professor Laxton's house this afternoon. Wasn't empty then.
Oh, but it is now. The man was waiting inside and flung a blanket over my head.
What man?
Just a minute, Sergeant. Suppose you begin at the beginning, Miss...
West, Patricia West. I came down from London to bring a parcel to Professor Laxton at 18 Hayford Avenue, but the house is empty. The front door was open, and I'd only taken a couple of steps inside when this blanket thing was thrown over my head. Luckily, it partly missed me, and I turned and ran.
Couldn't have been Professor Laxton's home, miss.
It was 18 Hayford Avenue.
You're quite sure you didn't make a mistake in the number, Miss West?
Of course. It was on the gatepost. There's a street lamp just near.
The best way of finding out would be to go there, wouldn't it, Gus?
Yes. Are you feeling all right?
Yes. I'd like to prove to you I'm not a nutcase.
Well, come along, then. Tell Superintendent Cotter I won't be long, Sergeant.
Right you are, sir. You won't find nothing empty about Professor Laxton's house. I'll bet me pension on that.
Well, we'll soon find out.
This is it. Hayford Avenue, Gov. Look, on that board over there.
Well, that's plain enough. Not much chance of making a mistake.
I didn't make a mistake. The house is about halfway down on the right.
This parcel you were taking to Professor Laxton, is it valuable?
I think so. I was told to take great care of it.
What is Laxton? I mean, what's his profession?
He's an Egyptologist.
Oh, yes, of course. I should have remembered.
Here we are, number 18.
That's not the place.
Well, this is Hayford Avenue.
And that's number 18?
I don't care. That is not the house.
Then you must have made a mistake somehow.
Look, I'm not a half-wit. I saw the name at the end of this road and the number on the gatepost, but that is not the house.
What do we do, Gov?
Let's go and see who lives here. If it is Professor Laxton, Miss West will have to admit that she went to the wrong house earlier.
Fair enough.
I just don't understand it. The drive wasn't like this. It was all weedy and overgrown.
Well, there must be something wrong somewhere. Did this man take the parcel?
No, I've got it in my handbag.
Who asked you to deliver this parcel to Professor Laxton in the first place?
Mr. Tate, Professor Laxton's solicitor. I'm Mr. Tate's secretary. Yes, sir?
Does Professor Laxton live here?
Yes, sir. Is this 18 Hayford Avenue? Of course, miss. Are you the young lady the professor's expecting?
I'm from Mr. Tate.
Come in, please.
Shall we wait?
You come with me. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
This way, please.
Come in.
The young lady you were expecting, sir.
Ah, come in, come in. Who are these two gentlemen?
My name is Blake, Sexton Blake.
Oh, yes, I've heard of you, of course. And what are you doing here?
Miss West has had an unpleasant shock.
What was that? You haven't lost that parcel?
Oh, no, it's in here.
Give it to me, quick. I waited for years to get this. Priceless, absolutely priceless.
What is it, Professor?
Have you ever heard of the Blood of Rameses? No. No, of course you haven't. Mention has been made of it in several ancient papyri. Unique? Quite unique. It was worn by the reigning pharaoh. A necklace of 7 flawless rubies. Nothing like it in the world. Nothing like it.
If I'd known it was as valuable as all that, I'd never have agreed to bring it.
Ah, confound these wrappings. Wait till you see it, Mr. Blake. Wait till you see it. Cold sugar. The old fool lost it. Just like him. Ah, that's got it. The blood of Rameses.
It's just a handful of pebbles.
What has happened? What have you done, girl?
Nothing. That's what Mr. Tate gave me.
Well, nonsense. Would he give you a lot of old stones? It has been lost or stolen. Mr. Blake, you must find the necklace. The Blood of Ramses. Name your own fee, sir. Anything. Anything but get it back.
I'll do my best. Do you know of an empty house near here?
Empty house? Empty house? What the devil?
Never mind, just tell me.
Why, I don't know of any. None in this road. Might be one in Court Road. Look here. Are you going to find the Blood of Ramses?
I've started. Come on, Tigger. You too, Miss West.
Hey, but where are you going?
To look for an empty house. We'll be back.
What a time.
How could I have mistaken Court Road for Hayford Avenue? Do you think I can't read?
Well, there's no harm in looking, is there?
Well, there's 18 Court Road.
And it looks empty.
But that's the place. That's where I came.
Well, this is 18 Court Road. You must have made a mistake.
I don't see how I could.
Well, let's go and have a look at 18 Court Road, shall we?
How could I have been so stupid?
Don't worry about that now. Let's see if we can find any traces of the man with the blanket.
The front door's shut.
Well, it isn't locked. You've only got to push it open. You're right about the dust and cobwebs, Miss West. Gosh, it isn't a mess.
Shine that torch over here, Tinker.
No, down on the floor.
There are plenty of traces of your man, Miss West, and your footsteps.
I suppose he was after that necklace.
Not much doubt, is there?
But he didn't get it, Mr. Blake. It was in my bag.
You're quite sure he had no opportunity to switch packets?
Quite. That parcel never left my handbag. I dodged that blanket and I was off like the wind.
You never put it down anywhere on the journey here?
No.
Then the Blood of Ramses must have been stolen before you left Mr. Tate.
But that's impossible.
I think I'll go and see Mr. Tate tomorrow.
Oh, this furious. How could I have made that silly mistake in the names of the roads?
I don't think you did. I think you were deliberately misled.
So now we're involved with ancient Egypt, are we, Tinker?
Funny old bird, Laxton. You should have seen his face when he found there were only a few old pebbles in that parcel.
What do you think happened?
Well, don't ask me. The governor's gone to see Mr. Tate. Perhaps he'll get hold of something there.
I'd say the pebbles were in that parcel when the girl brought it down.
Meaning that the switch was made in Tate's office?
If there was a switch.
Do you think Tate was pulling a fast one?
I suppose there's no doubt that the girl was telling the truth.
Of course she was.
Oh, why, of course. Oh, attractive, is she?
An absolute smasher.
I see. Of course, an absolute smasher couldn't possibly be lying.
Oh, I'm sure she wasn't.
It all seems a bit suspect to me. I mean, making a mistake in the roads and this man with a blanket.
The governor spotted how that was done. A thin bit of cardboard with the road names painted on could have been stuck over the real signs with drawing pins. Hayford Avenue would become Court Road. Court Road, Hayford Avenue. Easy.
I suppose he's also convinced that the attractive Miss West is incapable of lying.
Why should she lie?
Oh, with a priceless ruby necklace at stake, I can suggest an excellent reason.
Well, that's ridiculous, Paula. If she'd pinched the Blood of Ramses, she'd have said the man in the empty house took it now, wouldn't she?
Well, you've got a point there. I mean, this empty house is a bit of coincidence, isn't it? I mean, the next road with the same number as Professor Laxton's.
Well, the governor thinks it was that that gave this chap the idea.
It must have been prepared beforehand. But how did they know what time Miss West was coming? Or even that she was coming at all?
It's a bit of a teaser.
Yes, but simpler if Miss West's story is taken with a pinch of salt.
If you'd been there, you'd...
You think I'd have been dazzled by the brilliance of her personality?
Oh, come off it, Paula.
I'm merely suggesting the most feasible solution.
Well, it isn't a solution, unless the girl's nuts. Anyway, we shall probably know more after the governor's seen Tate.
Well, we won't have long to wait. Here he is now.
Nothing as usual?
We were discussing the current problem.
Paula believes that Miss West's been telling whoppers.
Does she? Well, of course, that sticks out of mine.
Ah, now I'm glad you agree with me, Mr. Blake.
Did you get anything fresh out of Mr. Tate?
A bit, not very much. He's as puzzled over the disappearance of the necklace as we are.
Or says he is?
Quite. It's a good thing not to be too credulous. I'm keeping an open mind.
What sort of a bloke is Tate?
Middle-aged, rather hidebound. Excellent for carrying out clients' instructions, but not much good in forming original ideas of his own. Or a bit too ready to accept things at their face value. More go-ahead and less trusting solicitor wouldn't have touched this Blood of Ramses business at all.
What do you mean, Guff?
Professor Laxton didn't tell us how the Blood of Ramses came into Tate's possession.
I understand that Tate was acting as his agent.
So he was, but there is more to it than that. The professor apparently got in touch with Tate and told him that he'd succeeded in tracing the necklace to a man named Lou Glom. Glom was bringing it to Tate. Tate was to receive it, give Glom a receipt, and forward the thing by hand to the professor.
Well, why didn't the professor arrange a more direct method of delivery?
I don't know, but he didn't. What's more, he instructed Tate that he was to ask no questions, merely accept delivery, and that was all.
Tate agreed?
Well, I don't think he would have done if he'd known the history of the necklace. I popped in and saw a chap I know at the British Museum who's an authority on this kind of stuff. His eyes nearly fell out when I mentioned the Blood of Ramses. It was originally discovered in a tomb in Karnak by Professor Coleshaw.
Well, Laxton mentioned him.
But he didn't mention what had happened to the necklace. Coleshaw intended to present it to the museum in Cairo, but it was stolen in transit.
Stolen?
Yes, it complicates things, doesn't it?
I'll say it does. This man Glob had no right to it.
Nor had Laxton. Presumably it's the property of Professor Coleshaw or Cairo Museum.
And Mr. Tate becomes her receiver of stolen property.
Which has been stolen yet again.
Oh. Well, that must have been before it left Mr. Tate's office.
Well, it's difficult to see how.
Well, there must have been some time when the parcel could have been switched. When Glom brought the parcel, I suppose Tate checked it.
Well, of course.
Did he repack it? I mean, before he sent it down to Professor Laxton?
He left it in the original box, but rewrapped it.
And left it on the desk?
No, he put it straight in his safe. He didn't take it out again until he gave it to Miss West.
She didn't put it down anywhere. I mean, where someone could have changed the parcel.
She put it in her handbag, took a taxi to Waterloo, got the train to Berrydale, and never took it out until she gave it to Laxton. Mm.
From what you say, Mr. Blake, only two people could have stolen that necklace. Mr. Tate or Miss West.
Oh, they wouldn't have been so stupid as to do it that way. It's too obvious. And there's the man with the blanket.
Yes. Who told him? Now, it must have been either Mr. Tate or the girl. I mean, nobody else knew, did they?
Well, she's got something there, Gov. It could have been Tate.
It could, but I'm not satisfied that it was. I'd like to find this man, Glom. Get on to Coots, Paul, and tell him I'd like to speak to him. Sexton Blake speaking. Who? Oh, yes. He didn't leave a message or anything. I see. Has he ever done anything like this before? No, I wouldn't do that. Not yet. Yes, I understand. I'll come down as soon as I can. Goodbye. That was Professor Laxton's housekeeper.
What happened?
He went out last night after we'd gone to post some letters. And he never came back. Seems to have disappeared, like the blood of Rameses.
You got hold of a nice little brain, Tickler Blake. Disappearance of an ancient Egyptian necklace, plus the disappearance of an ancient Egyptian professor.
Interesting, isn't it, Coots?
Nothing at Laxton's house to help you?
Nothing, he just walked out and vanished.
We may turn up. These learned birds are all a bit potty.
I wouldn't call Laxton potty.
Well, eccentric then, if you prefer. Quite likely to decide to go off somewhere and just go.
If that's the case, we'll soon hear something. Tell me, Coots, do you know anything about a man named Glom? Lou Glom.
Glom? Is he in this?
You do know him.
I know of him. Given us a headache for quite some time, Mr. Glom. We've had an eye on him for a couple of years, but we've never been able to pin anything onto him.
What's his line?
Oh, I'd say anything with big money in it. Do you know a chap called Armadon?
Armadon? Yes, doesn't he run a sort of club in Rotherhithe?
That's the fellow, big fat brute. The club's called the Sacred Ibis. That's all there is sacred about it. Used by all the riffraff from the four corners of the earth. A cosmopolitan collection of cutthroats. And Armadon's the biggest cutthroat of the lot.
What's Armadon got to do with Glom?
They're as thick as thieves, which is a pretty good description.
Can this man Glom be found at the Sacred Ibis?
If you're thinking of going to the Sacred Ibis, you'd better watch out. Some pretty nasty things happen in that place. It keeps K-Division on its toes. But here, Blake, if you're going there, I'll come with you.
No, that wouldn't do at all. It's nice of you to offer all the same.
What's the idea, anyway? The necklace was stolen after Glom had brought it to Tate.
I know, but I'd like to find out how Glom got hold of it. It's over 5 years since it was stolen on the way to the Cairo Museum. What happened to it in the meantime?
You think Glom was responsible for the first theft?
Could be.
I don't think he'd be likely to hang on to it all that time.
It's not an easy thing to dispose of. He may have been waiting for a safe buyer.
And found one in Laxton, eh? Well, I hope you sort it out and no bones broken.
I won't guarantee that, Coots, but you can bet I'll do my best to make sure they are mine.
Welcome to my poor establishment, Mr. Blake. It is a great honor that anyone so famous as yourself should visit the Sacred Ibis.
I'm looking for a man named Glom.
Is he here? Alas, he is not, Mr. Blake.
How do you expect him?
He comes here often. Perhaps he will come later. You would like to wait? The hospitality of my unworthy establishment is yours.
Would you buy your soft soap wholesale, Armadon?
I do not understand.
Never mind. What do you know about the blood of Rameses?
I realize why you wish to find Mr. Glom. It was he who delivered the blood of Rameses to Professor Laxton's agent, Mr. Tate.
I see you know all about it.
But naturally, it was I who found the blood of Rameses after it had been missing for so long.
Where?
It was given to me by a dying man, Mr. Blake.
How did it come into his possession?
Alas, I know not. I know nothing about him except that his name was Hakim. He died in my apartment, upstairs in this very club.
What caused his death?
I regret to say that it was the result of a fight. Outside in the streets, I hasten to add, there are a number of very rough characters in his neighborhood.
No, of course, and you knew nothing about this beating up.
No, but fortunately I was able to intervene. Not, however, before he was seriously hurt. The blood of Rameses was in a belt around his waist. He gave it to me in gratitude.
Very touching. And then you got in communication with Professor Laxton.
I could not keep a thing of such enormous value.
I suppose you're aware that the blood of Rameses is the property of Cairo Museum. You had no right to dispose of it to anyone.
Professor Laxton assured me that he was presenting the necklace to the Cairo Museum as they originally intended.
You're very clever, Amadon. Is it news to you that the blood of Rameses has been stolen again?
Stolen? Did not reach the hands of Professor Laxton?
You didn't know? Or about the man in the empty house who attacked Mr. Tate's secretary, Miss West? Or that Professor Laxton had disappeared?
Indeed, no. All these things are strange to me. Why should Professor Laxton disappear?
I don't know, but I think you do. Well, it doesn't look as if Glum's coming.
He does not always. If you care to wait, you are welcome.
You've told me all I wanted to know.
My poor establishment and myself are always at your service. Excuse me if I move this lamp. It is hurting my eyes.
You sit here all the time.
I'd like to be able to keep my eye on the entire club, Mr. Blake. From this vantage point, I can do so.
Do you mind if I use this phone, Amadon?
Oh, I please do so if you wish.
Sexton Blake speaking. Is that the station, Sergeant K Division? I'm at the Sacred Ibis. Oh, just paying a visit, that's all. You know what this district like. Yes, I see you do. Could you get one of the patrol cars to pick me up? Fine. Thanks, goodbye. Don't be too careful. I wouldn't like to finish up as Hakim did.
Very wise. It would grieve me if anything should happen to you.
It would grieve me, too. I see you've moved the lamp back.
Good night, Amadon.
What do you worry that there might be trouble?
When Amadon moved the lamp, I noticed that four men who looked like bouncers quietly slipped out a side door. I was right. After my phone call to the Nicky, moved the lamp back, and another man went quickly out the same door.
To call off the wolves, eh?
Yes. Those men would have been waiting for me. There'd have been nothing to connect Amadon or the Sacred Ibis, of course. Just a street rough-up.
Nice chap, this Amadon. I suppose all that guff about how the blood of Rameses came into possession was all a load of rubbish.
Definitely, I should say, but you can't prove it.
Well, I suppose there was a hacking.
Oh, yes. Amadon doesn't make mistakes like that. That's why he's still at large.
Good evening, Hubert.
Paula, do you know what time it is?
Well, the last time I looked at my watch, it was 1 a.m.
Oh, what's the idea? Why aren't you in bed and asleep?
We never sleep.
That's Pinkerton's slogan, not ours.
Oh.
You sure you're all right, Paula?
Of course. I've been investigating.
What?
The business of the blood of Rameses, naturally.
Have you? You look very pleased with yourself.
Oh, I am. And I think you'll be very pleased with me, too.
What have you been up to?
I've been down to Berrylands, to 18 Hayford Avenue.
Professor Laxton's out?
Well, come on. What did you do when you got there?
Do you think I look like a reincarnation of the goddess Isis?
Oh, stone of clothes.
That's practically what the Professor Laxton's housekeeper said.
I'm not surprised.
Is that what you told her?
Less crudely, but that was the gist of it. I said I had an appointment with Professor Laxton, who was very anxious to meet me.
But Laxton's still missing.
His housekeeper tactfully said he was away.
So you had a wasted journey?
Oh, no. At that point, I just went into a trance.
You did what?
I went into a trance. The housekeeper, Mrs. Moole, I think her name is, was most disturbed. She sat me down on a chair in the hall, and I babbled a lot of stuff about Osiris and Horus and the Book of the Dead in a tomb-like voice. I could see she was very impressed.
Really, Paula, you really are the ruddy limit.
I can't see you gain very much.
I haven't finished yet. While I was doing my act, the door opened and a girl popped her head out. It was your virtuous and attractive Miss West.
How do you know? You've never seen her.
Ah, Mrs. Moole obliged there. She said, it's all right, Miss West. And Miss West popped her head back and shut the door.
Very interesting, Paula. What happened next?
Well, Isis was getting a bit tired and I was running short of material, so I came out of my trance with an artistic shudder and the well-known, where am I, staggered weakly to my feet and apologized.
She must have thought you were batty.
I explained very carefully that I never knew when these attacks were coming on.
And she believed you?
Well, I think she thought it was all very wonderful, but she didn't understand a word of it. Of course, I didn't either.
Paula, you really do the most ridiculous things. What induced you to go to Laxton?
I had a hunch I might find something, and I did.
I wonder what Patricia West was doing there.
Tate could have sent her down to see if there was any news on Laxton.
And what's the matter with the telephone?
Well, I don't know what she was there for. But I've saved my pièce de résistance until the last. Look what I brought you.
The blood of Rameses.
home.
Well, how'd you get hold of that, Paula?
I hid in the drive, waited till Miss West came out of the house, snatched her handbag and ran. The blood of Rameses was in it.
That should stir things up a bit.
Well done, Paula. Will you and Miss West wait in here for a moment, Mr. Tate?
Thank you.
I trust that whatever this matter is that Mr. Blake wishes to see us about won't take long. I've had to postpone a most important appointment.
I won't keep you longer than I can help, Mr. Tate. Oh, please sit down, Miss West.
Thank you.
I was surprised to get your telephone message this morning, Mr. Blake.
Not nearly so surprised as you're going to be, Mr. Tate.
I don't understand.
I should like you to tell me the truth about the blood of Rameses.
I don't think I can add anything to what I've already told you.
Does that also apply to you, Miss West?
Yes, of course.
Why did you go to Professor Laxton's house last night?
Mr. Tate asked me to call and see if Professor Laxton had come back.
That is correct.
It never occurred to you to use the telephone, I suppose.
Well,
don't bother to think up an answer. Miss West, is this your handbag?
Yes. No, that is...
Make up your mind. If it'll help, it's got some letters in it addressed to you.
Oh, yes, then it must be. I lost it.
And this was in it, too. Perhaps you recognize it, Mr. Tate.
It's the blood of Rameses.
I'm glad you admit that anyway. Now, Miss West, will you explain how this necklace, which was supposed to be missing, comes to be found in your handbag?
I think I'd better explain, Mr. Blake.
I think you had.
First of all, I should tell you that Miss West has nothing whatever to do with this business. She was merely carrying out instructions.
Yours?
Partly. It's rather an unusual situation. Perhaps I have acted in an unethical manner, but I was only acting as an agent, you understand, and carrying out my client's instructions.
Your client being Professor Laxton?
Yes, a great personal friend. I've looked after his business affairs for a number of years.
I hope they didn't involve you in any other little tricks like this.
I suppose it was only to be expected that such a thought would cross your mind, Mr. Blake. But I can assure you that this is the only time...
Anyway, Mr. Tate hasn't done anything so very terrible.
Well, it depends how you look at it.
It doesn't do anything of the kind.
Miss West.
I'm sorry, but smug people always irritate me, particularly when they don't know the circumstances.
I'm waiting to hear them.
Look, Mr. Blake, a week ago, Professor Laxton came to see me at my office. He'd received a telephone call from a Mr. Amadun.
Who told him that he had in his possession the blood of Rameses. Why didn't you mention Amadun when I saw you before?
You'll understand that when you hear the rest of it.
Wouldn't it be better to let Mr. Tate get on with it instead of interrupting him, Mr. Blake?
Yes. Go on, Mr. Tate.
This man, Amadun, wanted £50,000 for the necklace. Not an unreasonable price, considering not only its intrinsic value, but the archaeological importance as well. But I pointed out to Laxton that Amadun would have to establish his right to the property before we could deal with him. We won't bother about that, he said. Let's get hold of the necklace first and argue the point after. I was dubious, but he wouldn't listen. Then he told me his plan. The blood of Rameses was to be brought to my office. I was to arrange with my secretary, Miss West, in front of the messenger who brought it, to take it to Laxton's house in Hayford Avenue.
But in reality, it wouldn't be the necklace, but a handful of pebbles.
Exactly. Laxton would tell Amadun that the necklace had been stolen and refused to pay. I didn't like the scheme at all. It seemed to me to be verging on sharp practice. But Laxton pointed out that however Amadun had acquired the necklace, he could only have done so dishonestly.
You can say that again. I'm rather surprised that Amadun agreed to part with the thing before he got the cash.
Laxton insisted that he must have time to examine the necklace and satisfy himself that it was genuine. I was to act in the capacity of stakeholder.
I'm still surprised Amadun agreed. What did you do with the necklace?
Professor Laxton took it himself. I telephoned him as soon as this man Glom had gone.
And I went down to Berrydale last night to try and find it.
Laxton was rather careless with valuables.
I'll say he was. It was in a drawer of his desk, not even locked. Look here, Mr. Blake. How did you get hold of my bag? Somebody snatched it from me in the drive.
Excuse me, Mr. Blake. Can you let me?
Oh, you were the girl in the hall.
Oh, the goddess, Isis. She's a hobby of mine, Miss West.
It was you who stole my handbag.
I have several hobbies.
Really?
Oh, don't worry. I never indulge in them during business hours.
You see, we're not always orthodox in our methods either, Miss West. Tell me, whose bright idea was the empty house and the man with the blanket?
It had nothing to do with Professor Laxton or myself.
Or me. I was really frightened.
You're quite sure it had nothing to do with Laxton's scheme?
Quite.
Then we'd better find Professor Laxton as quickly as possible before anything really serious happens.
I think your way is too dangerous, Blake.
There'll be a police launch watching the back of the place and a bunch of men from K Division keeping an eye on the front.
A lot could happen before they could do anything. Better let me arrange a proper raid.
Well, you know, Amadun, at the first inkling of a raid, Laxton to be killed and his body chucked in the river.
Always supposing he's there. You're only guessing.
I don't know where else he can be. Hamilton was responsible for his disappearance. Of that, I'm certain.
That chap Tate was sailing pretty near the wind.
Well, nothing really illegal, though. The necklace didn't belong to Hamilton in the first place. I'm rather in sympathy with old Laxton trying to work a tit-for-tat, even if it was a bit clumsily done.
When are you going to the Sacred Ibis?
Tonight, around about 12.
I think I'll join the party from K Division.
Do, Coots. I'm taking Tinker with me. We shall go as seamen from a cargo boat in the pool.
How will we know if you want the help?
One of us will fuse the lights. As soon as the place goes dark, burst in and do your stuff.
You bet. It'll be a pleasure.
Good stroke. 2 bloody quid each. We don't want to buy the blasted joint.
I do not force you to partake of the amenities of the Sacred Ibis, my friend. You may please yourself.
You proper posh, ain't he, mate?
Here, give him the money, I'll pay.
Come on, Fred, let's get a drink. They don't cost more than a fiver.
There's an empty table over there, Gov.
Not that one, Tinker. Too conspicuous. Look, right over there.
Cool. What a place.
Mixed bunch, aren't they? Ah, here we are. Sit down.
Here, bring us 2 large rums, mate, at the double.
If Laxton's here, he'll be up in Amidon's flat. We've got to get up there.
Well, how do we do that?
Not in the ground. There's a door behind you marked private.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, you can keep the change.
Listen, I'm going to start a diversion. You get over to that door and slip through. I'll join you.
What are you going to do?
See that hefty-looking chap at the table next to us with a blonde woman?
Yeah.
Well, he's more than half cut. He's arguing with the waiter. If I give the waiter a shove, he'll fall over the table. The big chap's just drunk enough to go berserk. Get ready.
Okay.
Please, please. There's the main switch and the fuse boxes. That's a bit of luck. You can stay here, Tinker. Get down in the shadow of the staircase. When I shout, pull the switch.
Okay.
Hammond wants you, mate. Trouble.
If you think much to deal with you, you really should be more careful. Ah, Professor Laxton. Hold on. You'll be free in a second.
Tinker, lights.
Now, don't worry, Professor. You're all right. The police will be taking over now.
$50,000 for the necklace. Threats, horrible threats. I told Armadon I hadn't got the damn thing. That isn't quite true. I hadn't.
But you had, Professor, until Miss West took it away from your study.
That wasn't the blood of Rameses, it was a fake. Armadon never had the real necklace. That's why he tried to get it from Miss West in the empty house, so that Professor Laxton wouldn't get a chance to discover it was a replica.
Cool. The whole lot of them were trying to pull a fast one over each other.
Exactly. Well, Coots will see that Amadon can't pull any more fast ones for a bit.
And where's the real necklace?
Nobody knows, except the person who stole it 5 years ago.
Anyway, Mr. Blake, I was right about your attractive Miss West, wasn't I?
Oh, yes, Paula, you were right. But then women very seldom trust other women, do they? Particularly if they're attractive.
That story in our Sexton Blake series was called The Blood of Rameses and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory, Tinker, and Heather Chasen, Paula. Mr. Tape was played by John Bowne, Patricia West, Sean Davis, the Professor's housekeeper, Beth Boyd, Professor Laxton, John Forrest, Detective Chief Inspector Coates, Wilfred Babbage, and Armadoon, Peter Welsh. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.